Right now on VFN TV, we're going to be talking about a book that was written, Jesus Left the Building. We're going to be showing you where a prophet is running through the aisles of a church saying, the church is leaving the building. The importance of being able to find your tribe. Why? Because artificial intelligence, things that are happening right now in today's time, we got to pay attention because the signs of the times are here. And one of which, they're talking about making an artificial God to worship. I know, right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
With Time Magazine, we'll have no choice but to say what I want them to say. Newsweek, what I want to say. The View, what I want to say.
Let's just all hope that Donald Trump is a good president of the United States. He's our president, and we need this country to be run well.
For the Spirit of God says, yes, he may have hot blood, but he will bring the walls of protection on this country in a greater way.
We've achieved a record reduction in illegal immigration. Did you see at the southern border? 75%.
It shall come to pass that the man that I place in the highest office shall go in whispering my name. But God said when he enters into the office, he will be shouting out by the power of the Spirit, for I shall fill him with my Spirit when he goes into office, and there will be a praying man in the highest seat in your name.
Well, Donald Trump has expressed to the committee, the faith-based committee that he has expanded on, that by the time he leaves office, he wants to be remembered as the most praying president in history.
We invite all Americans to join us as we continue to pray for those who have lost family members and friends, and for those who are suffering from this great crisis. We're going to be signing a day of prayer.
Mr. President, I think it goes without saying that at a moment like this, we all come together as Americans. We all bow to Almighty God. We ask for his grace and his mercy over those who are affected. And most of all, Mr. President, we thank you for acknowledging that ultimately it is God who is the source of our unity as Americans. And I thank you for issuing this proclamation. Thank you.
It's been called the most evangelical cabinet in history. Men and women who don't mince words when it comes to where they stand on God and the Bible.
Has this been done before in a cabinet formally?
I don't
formally?
Think there's been a cabinet Bible study in America in at least 100 years.
It is time for you to receive the knowledge of the glory working in you and through you, so that everywhere you go, you walk with the glory of God, because you are the glory of God.
You know, the last day's language of the Holy Spirit is dreams. He said, well, it was just a dream. Maybe just a dream. Who knows what angels had to fight through to break into your world? To give you their thoughts and you just say, it's just a dream. I think the church needs to stop saying, it's just a dream.
If the righteous many do not confront the wicked few, then evil will triumph.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Paul Ramos. Think about it. I don't know if you read the book some time ago. The book was called Jesus Has Left the Building by Paul Vieira. That was a popular book at its time because we were wondering what was going on. Why was the church stagnated? Why was it costing $1.3 million for every baptized believer? Can you imagine? It costs $1.3 million per baptized believer. If you split that up to like $100,000 each, you just give that to some people, some needs, and they'll follow Jesus. They'll make him the Lord of his life. That's what's been going on in America. Well, now at the Church of His Presence, just this last week, this prophet went off and he was speaking there. I don't know if he might be a prophet, might not be a prophet, but it lined up with what we're hearing for what the Lord is saying about the church is getting in the harvest field. As a matter of fact, he was speaking on the stage, and all of a sudden he just got off and just started running. He's a country preacher out of Georgia, you know, just loves God, and he just took off running up and down the aisles of Church of His Presence and said, you know, the church is leaving the building. I'll just let you see it. Take a look.
The church needs to
to leave the building. Yes! Yes! Oh, we got to leave the building. We got to leave the building. We got to leave the building. When they come in here, where is everybody? Ladies and gentlemen, the church has left the building.
This is a prophecy. It's so important to understand that the building itself is not the church. Quite often we've been calling the building church. When it's empty, nobody's there. We point at it and go, hey, did you ever go to that? Have you ever been to that church before? And the reality is, if you're a believer, you're the church. You're the building of God. You're God's workmanship. And when we come together, that's where God is dwelling in the midst of us. He says, where two or more come in the, together in unity, he dwells in the midst of us. And so the building doesn't, the physical building doesn't make us the church. And it's not about the building and the church itself. It's about nobody's going into the harvest field. Did you know almost only 5%, only 5% of Christians in an entire lifetime will lead only one person to the Lord? The other 95% will not even be in the harvest field. God's going, the church is going to leave the building. You remember when they were in Jerusalem and they were there being persecuted and they were ran out of Jerusalem? What happened? The kingdom spread. The gospel message spread. And if it wasn't God allowing that to happen, then the headship of the church in Jerusalem, James and all of those in Jerusalem, they would not have stayed there. They wouldn't have stayed there. Remember, Paul had to come back to Jerusalem to get wisdom on what to do when they were talking about, you know, what to do, following the laws and different things like that. That means this, that God was getting, you know, the church, the first church out of the building of Jerusalem into the harvest fields. And all of a sudden, people just started getting saved. This is going to be the greatest harvest that we've ever seen is coming to the earth. And it's so exciting. Guess what? If you're one of those people that's been sitting there for 25 years waiting for somebody else to do it, God's going, you're the one's going to do it. Don't panic. Don't panic. God has already sent people ahead of you, already prepared a way for you, already has a place for you. You need to begin to think and identify your tribe. Who are you related to? Not where do you go to church. Who are you related to? Who hears from God? Who does your spirit connect to? Because all these forms of communication, all these forms of network television and all the way things are happening, that's about to shift and change. You got to be connected and rightly related to where God would have you connect. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world then, because you're rightly related and you're connected. You think about this. Israel had tribes. You remember there was the 12 tribes of Israel, and they came together for two reasons. One, to worship. When they wanted to worship and the feast and all, and they also came together during warfare, but they went back into their tribes. It's a God design. That's why I designed it. And it's going to seem kind of strange because we divided up our church and called it Thy Number of the Nations, you know, denominationalism, different things like that. There's nothing wrong with that. Just, you know, but we got to, it's time for us to shift into this new environment. God's, it's just exciting. It's so exciting. But listen, after this break, I'm going to tell you how quickly we need to shift, because artificial intelligence is being built so quick, so fast, that a former employee of Google that has left Google, he's saying that he's already developing some intelligence to have an artificial intelligence God. He's literally creating in his own mind a God for people to worship. You think, well, that's not, you know, that will never happen. Well, then we're going to go meet Elon Musk at the World Congress, where he's speaking to the leaders of the world, and he's telling them we're already cyborgs already. Cyborg is when you mix a machine and a man together. He said, we just do not connect them to our bodies yet. Well, guess what? They're talking about merging the thing inside of the bodies of humans. Listen, the world's going to do what they're going to do. The lost's going to do what they're going to do. But as a church, we got to quit depending on all that and start getting connected and rightly related to our tribe. This is so exciting. The harvest is coming. Don't panic. God's already prepared a way for you. As a matter of fact, if you haven't found a way, maybe you can go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org and find out a detailed way to be able to do it. Maybe if that's not for you, maybe we can direct you to somebody that has a way. But God has prepared a way. And one way you need to be able to be prepared is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said this. He said, if you follow my teachings, then you're my disciple. You're really my disciple. There's a lot of people right now that made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, But then they just left him, left his ways, never learned his ways. And the Lord's saying, listen, it's time for us to repent, come back, learn his ways, and begin to walk in them. We're not perfect, but understand that there's a safety in that when we follow him. And we have something called Emmaus Road. You can find that also at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Look for Hello Church, and you'll see Emmaus Road right there. It explains all the details. Maybe you can get on Emmaus Road, start heading up it, and be launched into your destiny. But we get back from this break. We're going to go right straight talking about what's about to happen. Revelations chapter 13 talks about it. It talks about an economy that's going to happen in the world and how, you know, Satan's going to be over that economy. Basically, people who are controlled by darkness will be over that economy. And it's happening right before our very eyes, and we're going to see that today. Make sure you join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
17 years ago, I walked onto that mall with the first call DC. I'll never forget the thousands of kids that were there at 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, 17 years later, I almost feel it's an unfolding fulfillment of what we dreamed about then.
Never before has there ever been 50 tents on the National Mall with hundreds of musicians.
When David became king, a procession of all the tribes gathered. How many thousands?
The first thing that he did was bring the Ark of the Presence of God into the city, and he put it in a tent for 30 years. Imagine if in Washington, D.C., there was a tent city for 3 days where the song and the sound of the Lord filled our nation, and it went viral.
This has never been done before in American history. What's your head is there? This is day and night.
This is everybody bringing their song, everybody bringing their prayer, everybody coming together in one heart to declare it's a new day. It's time to awaken the dawn.
It's time for the procession of God into this place.
Come on.
Welcome back. John, this is not amazing when you think about it. We've been talking about this for some time, been preparing for it. You know, that God, there was a season when the church did not have the word. And we talked about that, how America got here and how we stay here. And God wanted his church to have the word back. And it's a big ordeal, but literally it's an ordeal. Ordeal came from that word, by the way. We won't talk about what that means. And then, of course, we have the word. So it's common now where people have scriptures. As a matter of fact, every American has an average amount of Bibles in their home. How many is it?
4 to 5 Bibles.
Yeah, 4 to 5 Bibles.
And one for the car.
And one for the car. And, of course, you have digital Bibles. But out of those who read them, what percentage is that reads them? 19%, something like that?
19% of the church is actually reading the Bible.
And only 3% is actually reading it and making life decisions.
Right, applying it.
Which we call that abiding. If you want to learn how to abide, we have a free abiding plan for you at iabide.org. You want to abide, believe me, you want to abide. So here we are in this particular day, you know, and we're talking about, you know, God's now got his word back to the church. Mm-hmm. He wants his church back. And what that means when your dad says, I want you to get out the house, he's not sending you away. He wants you to get a job. he wants you to start functioning in life, right?
Right.
We're called as believers to be disciples, imitators of Jesus Christ. He said, not only will we do what he's been doing, but we'll do greater things than he did, because he's going to be with the Father and he's doing it through us and with us. And so this is exciting. It might be a little scary, because if you spent 10 and 20 years just staring at someone and not ever doing anything,
I have to do something now.
And you're the 97%.
Right.
Understand God's, you know, and you need to shift. This is why God's shifting the church, is because he wants to protect you. He wants to protect you, because what's presently there is going to be shifting. And all these systems, we're going to talk to you, where a former employee of Google, who left Google now, is developing artificial intelligence, which is a computer that you would say thinks, but basically gets knowledge and calculates whatever, and trying to make it a god. I mean, confidently saying it's going to be a god, and people are going to worship it. Well, Revelation chapter 3 confirms...
13.
Revelation chapter 13 confirms exactly what these guys are talking about. So we're going to talk about this. So we need to begin to think about, you know, you know, what's real and what's not real. It's really difficult. Raising children today, it's really difficult because you got to tell them, that ain't real. Cleaning your room is real. That ain't real, right? And so it's a big deal. And so the very ones, John, the very ones that created a lot of this stuff, like Elon Musk,
right.
He helped create PayPal, where we do all of our exchanges today, a lot of exchanges. He created Tesla, which is mm-hmm. the first battery-operated car successfully. You know, created that. And he also created SpaceX, which the United States government and other governments are using his company to launch rockets into the space. I mean, this is a man who knows
he
about.
He wants to go to Mars.
Because of artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
And so, because he's scared of it. And he's saying, we're going to destroy ourselves because of this. And so, the day's getting close for the Lord's return. It's getting really, really close where he's going to call his church away. And so Elon Musk is talking, John, about, you know, they're asking him this intellectual question. They don't, you know, We're gonna be at my level in just a moment where we can understand, you know. But understand this question he's asking. He's using a lot of words to it because somebody stands up and asks this question. He's like, if in fact that is not real, who's to say that we're not real?
Yeah.
And that's the ultimate question, which means if you believe you're not real, you believe you're really not going to go to hell if you don't make Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the whole thing.
Reminds me of the disciples asking Jesus, what are the signs of the end times? And the first thing that Jesus says, the very first, is do not be deceived. And this is what this artificial intelligence is all about. It's about a great deception.
Yes.
So you got to be careful and you need to pay attention.
Yeah, and deception is what you think you're doing is right when you're dead wrong. That's a very good word. And this is why we're here. We're helping out. As a matter of fact, this is Elon Musk being asked that question about what's real, what's not real. Check it out.
There's a sort of a philosophic concept that a sufficiently advanced civilization will be able to create a simulation. Yeah. Maybe you've answered this before? A simulation.
I've had so many simulation discussions, it's crazy.
Okay. Because
in fact, it got to the point where basically every conversation was the AI / simulation conversation. And my brother and I finally agreed that we would ban such conversations if we were ever in a hot tub. Okay. That was like... Because you know, that really kills the magic.
So the idea is, right, any sufficiently advanced civilization could create a simulation that's like our existence. And so the theory follows that maybe we're in the simulation. Have you thought about this? And
a lot.
Are we?
Even in hot tubs.
I need to know.
So much so it had to be banned from a hot tub.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not the sexiest conversation.
Are we in?
I think the strongest argument for us being in a simulation, probably being in a simulation, I think is the following. Call it 40 years ago, we had Pong, like two rectangles and a dot. That was what games were. Now, 40 years later, we have photorealistic 3D simulations with millions of people playing simultaneously, and it's getting better every year. And soon we'll have virtual reality, augmented reality. If you assume any rate of improvement at all, then the games will become indistinguishable from reality. They'll be indistinguishable. Even if that rate of advancement drops by 1,000 from what it is right now, then you just say, okay, well let's imagine it's 10,000 years in the future, which is nothing in the evolutionary scale. So given that we're clearly on a trajectory to have games that are indistinguishable from reality, and those games could be played on any set-top box or on a PC or whatever, and there would probably be, you know, billions of such, you know, computers or set-top boxes, it would seem to follow that the odds that we're in base reality is one in billions.
So
tell me what's wrong with that argument.
Is the answer yes?
The argument is probably. Is there a flaw in that argument?
I mean, someone.
I'm not sure what the error.
No. The argument makes sense. So the assumption then is that somebody beat us to it, and this is a game.
No. There's a one in billions chance that this is base reality.
Oh, okay. What do you think?
Well, I think it's one in billions.
Okay.
Yeah, that seems to be. Like clearly, what it suggests,
right.
and actually, I mean, arguably, we should hope that that's true, because Otherwise, if civilization stops advancing, then that may be due to some calamitous event that erases civilization. So maybe we should be hopeful that this is a simulation, because otherwise...
Because they could reboot it.
Well, otherwise, either we're going to create simulations that are indistinguishable from reality, or civilization will cease to exist. Those are the two options.
So you're looking at these are highly intelligent people. So it's not even really you have to understand this is where people are getting. It's, you know, God's wisdom frustrates the intellect of the intelligent.
Yeah.
And so he exists, he is, he's all powerful, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere, he's created everything that you see. And so somebody who's trying to figure this out in their mind, I mean, they're moving in pride, and so it's self-reliancy. And so this is where they're really, you know, one in a billion chance we might not even be real. And he's talking about if you have a computer and it goes bad, you can reboot it. It's like, maybe we can reboot the Earth.
Too many movies. Maybe this Matrix thing going on, but...
But the thing about it, John, is they believe it. It's what you believe. Let me tell you something. The most important thing about you is what you believe about God. Because if you can believe that he's a prophet, you can believe that he's a teacher, you can believe he's a wise man, you can believe he's a good person, but if you don't believe he's the Son of God and he's the only way to heaven, that there is no other way, that's an eternal consequence to this. And you're looking at people venturing way out there in this all intellectual zone that's taking them further and further away from the reality of the truth himself, which is Jesus Christ. And look at this, artificial intelligence, this is why you got to find your tribe. You gotta find your tribe. Stop playing church. Find out who you're related to. This is not about who you're having, you know, dinner with, and who, you know, who's you know, next event that you're going, and not chasing signs and wonders. You're supposed to follow you, but it's about you gotta find your tribe, and you need to find them quickly and take some time to get related before all this stuff kicks off so much you won't believe anything anymore. Mm-hmm. But this they're talking about right here about artificial intelligence, John. About the future is now. It's happening right now. Countries are coming over right now. Facial recognition, where they're tracking everybody in their country now, and people are just giving into it. As a matter of fact, take a look.
So, do you think it's more inspiring or alarming overall to have this kind of technology available to us?
Overall, it's pretty alarming because nobody really realized how it is changing a world, and nobody really realized the side effect it is going to have on our political regime, whether they are a totalitarian regime or democracies. All those regimes are going to change deeply because of those technology. And this is a question nobody really asked the people who govern us.
On these screens, you can see that every person in the room is filmed real time. The grid you see here is analyzing my face. Our cameras can now recognize me, even from the side or when my head rotates 30 degrees to the left or right, or 15 degrees up or down.
All employees of the company have given their face prints. Cameras film and record every move.
Meanwhile, the technology continues to advance, and researchers are looking at even more complex and advanced algorithms for this sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, just a couple of examples over the last month. Cambridge University now say they're looking at a system, they've developed a system which could potentially identify people with scarves over their faces or wearing hats. So, I mean, you're looking at something potentially in the future when this technology really does start to take off, where you could walk past a camera and you're automatically added to a database. You wouldn't necessarily know about it, and therefore, you know, as your human rights may say, well, you can complain and get something done, you just wouldn't even know that it happened.
This is happening right now. You know, look back at the concentration camps and look back at what Hitler tried to do and the, you know, demonic things that were over him. He tattooed everybody so he could track everybody.
That's right.
If you help somebody from Auschwitz, if you still can see them from the concentration camps, they have a tattoo on them, a number on them, and they had a ledger, so they're writing it down physically. Well, that's way, I mean, now you're looking at whether you like it or not.
That's right.
They're tracking you. This is why it's so important to, you know, find out what's real. So many people, John, right now, they eat dinner as strangers, they live in their house as strangers, they go to work as strangers, they go to coffee shop as strangers, and nobody's touching anybody, but they're touching this digital world, and the people who are tracking the digital world, they're the ones that know more about you than your own family knows about you,
and
your own
pastor. And profiting off of you.
Yeah, they're tracking you, profiting you. They're watching your little dot, wherever your little phone goes, whether you pay for it or not. You got a dot and it's following. And so I want to encourage you that that's why you got to find your tribe. Your tribe is somebody that God's called you to in the church, and you can touch them, you can talk to them, you can call them. As a matter of fact, even the finance, we'll be talking more about the finance, but look at this. Even the banking and the markets are being taken over by technology. You don't need a brick and mortar bank anymore. Your phone that you carry around is a bank. Take a look.
But today's society do not need those bank branches. We don't need those brick and mortars. We don't need ATMs. Every low-cost smartphone is an ATM now. My own company has 1.75 million outlets in India. You just have to extend your arm and you have a shop, a cigarette vendor or a grocery shop. On the mobile phone, we give micro-insurance. You can give micro-credit. The world has changed. In countries like India, which have adopted digital as one of the major platforms, our Prime Minister has taken upon himself as one of the big pillars is Digital India, in which he wants to connect everybody in the country in the shortest possible time frame. And we are talking about 18, 24 months. Every Indian will have a phone in their hand. On top of that, what has been done is every Indian now has a national identity, which is linked to biometrics. It takes you less than 1 minute. You put your thumb in any place you go in India. Every store will have a $20 device. Put your thumb in 1 minute, you are verified. So technology is an imperative. We have no choice but to use technology.
When we get back from this break, you look at this stuff. It's happening. People are buying into it. They've already got a digital identity for everybody in India. Guess what? That's like 1.5 billion folks on the face of the earth.
And exactly, like it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. And 1.5 million people have this phone that has banking on it, and they could do microloans on it. I mean, everybody, the thing about it is, are you willing to do the hard work in life? Like sit down, meet somebody, talk to them. You got to find your tribe. We get back from this break, we're going to take you right to where it's going to. It's going to, literally, they're trying to make a god out of the artificial intelligence. And it's like somebody says, well, my phone's smarter than me. It may have more knowledge than you, but if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it's not wiser than you, and it's not smarter than your God. We have to humble ourselves. We never should have seen ourselves smarter than God in the first place. We should just humble ourselves always. That's how a simple man, like we saw at the beginning of this program, start running the hallways or the aisles in a church and saying that God's using him to prophesy. Oh, so we're going to have that after the break. Make sure you're joining us. A former employee of Google is building this God, artificial God, that's going to be a thing that people worship. That's actually in Revelation chapter 13. First, I want to be able to send you this offer. Here's the details.
Offer 2041, Waiting on the Lord, Understanding Your Journey to Your Destiny in God. When God lets you in on his plans, relax and enjoy the ride. This message will bring you personal insight and wisdom along with a heavenly perspective of your life and God's plans. Joseph was a young man when God shared with him his plans, but there was a journey that he had to go on to arrive at God's amazing plans. That journey is what we all must go on, which is referred to as waiting on the Lord. Many people see waiting on the Lord as sitting there and waiting for God to force his plans into their life. And they're always being disappointed because that's not how God works in our life. The Lord has great plans for each of us, and he knows that we need to be prepared for those plans. It's on that journey that we learn to wait for his plans to manifest in our lives. Maybe you've been given a dream or a prophetic word from the Lord that declares great things, but you presently see no signs of that word in your life. If so, this message is just for you. For those who've become impatient or who have given up because of what has happened in their life, thinking that God's promise is never going to take place in their life, if so, this is for you. Everyone who watches this message will be encouraged, as all who heard it the day it was taught were also encouraged. We want to send you this offer for a free gift of any amount. Or you can become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. You can also write to us at 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2041, Waiting on the Lord, Understanding Your Journey to Your Destiny in God.
TV. Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
What's up, y'all? I'm Sadie Robertson, and I encourage every single one of you to bring your Bible to school on October the 5th. Too legit to quit.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
So I'm wondering if there are written guidelines for chaplains, what their speech can be or prayers can be at invocations at various functions.
Let me tell you the best example I would give, and that is the example that takes place in the House and Senate. And there the chaplains compose their own prayers, make their own statements, have their own liturgy when they do their own, if they do services or Bible studies for the members of the House or the Senate. And I would say, George, you would have that same right under the First Amendment to do that. But right now, as the law stands, there's a case that's very supportive of your position here, and I think you're fine to continue to pray. Pray the way you feel like you want to pray. If you want to end it in Jesus' name, you have the right to do that. If you want to speak at functions, you certainly have the First Amendment right to do that.
If you have a legal question or concern, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Ken Wall is from Fort Collins, Colorado. He's a dad. He's a husband. Congratulations, Kent. Those are two wonderful things to be, and he wants me to talk about tolerance. I would say this has been an area that I've had to work on in my life because I have considered this to be a weakness in my life. I really know where I'm going, and I've always been a person that pretty well knew what path I wanted to take and knew what decisions I needed to make. And so life in that area has not been difficult for me, but it has been challenging for me sometimes to be tolerant to others who don't quite get their act together as quickly as I do. And what I discovered is, as a leader, I cannot lead people according to my temperament. I have to lead people according to theirs. I have to get out of my world, and I have to walk into their world. And the moment that I began to get away from who I was to where the person was, and from my ideas into their ideas, something happened in my life. I became more tolerant to them. I began to see them as they were, and I began to see them with the battles that they were having, and I began to have a sense of empathy with them. So I think that tolerance is a result of leaving your world and getting into the life of others and beginning to understand that their world is different than ours. Not worse, maybe not better, but different. And that calls for tolerance.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. What we're talking about, you need to find your tribe. We began with the reality of a man running the aisles of a church saying, the church is leaving the building. Well, it's the reason why. It's because God's bringing us into what he has for us next. We have to understand prophetic fulfillment of things that are taking place right now. There's a particular former Google employee that is setting up reportedly a new church to worship artificial intelligence. As a matter of fact, take a look at this. We're going to be talking about that now. Listen to this.
Google engineer sets up a new church to worship artificial intelligence. Former senior Google engineer developing robot that will be worshipped as a god. Anthony Lewandowski, the multimillionaire engineer who once led Google's self-driving car program, has founded a religious organization to develop and promote the realization of a godhead based on artificial intelligence. Kevin Rose, the ex-head of Google's self-driving car unit, is apparently starting a religion that worships an AI-based god.
Artificial intelligence is the scariest threat to human society. I'm going to listen to him because he's smarter than I am. He may not be perfect, but
no one is sure exactly what this group will do, but the way of the future is a religion-based artificial intelligence, a belief system that deems self-thinking robots holy, and that's something we've never seen before. This religion worships something real that we created, something that can actually affect things in the real world. It's really a different beast.
We've seen machines that can read lips, MRI images, and so forth, all better than humans. We've also seen demonstrations of driverless trucks, this one on a beer run. And we've also seen DeepMind's AlphaGo win the ancient game of Go, where possibilities exceed the number of atoms in the universe. And there are many more practical and day-to-day applications and use cases. And increasingly, we're not even aware that they're there doing these magical, imaginative things.
That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, you're looking, it's really happening. Don't worry about it. We were told this before computers were ever developed, technologies ever developed, before America was ever a nation. I understand it's prophecy being fulfilled, but you've got to separate yourself from the world. He didn't call us to be of the world. We're supposed to be in it, but separate from it.
That's right.
We love the people in the world. We want to be able to win them into the kingdom of God, but we got to separate ourselves and realize we got to find our tribe. I'm telling you, if you find your tribe, the people that God's called you to relate to, it could be, you know, referred to as an apostolic family, where you have, you know, the fivefold ministry flow and the fullness of God. You have accountability and brothers and sisters and all that kind of stuff. This, like, family, you know, like family that you relate to. Because this systems that are going off, people are going to look at you and say, you know, I think that Google's God's more accurate than you. And then you're going to say something, and then you're going to have any family around you or anything. You're going to be just you and them. You know, in the Lord, obviously, but God's called us to walk in families
together.
And the church is leaving the building. And so you need to prepare yourself as a pastor. You need to prepare yourself, and you don't want them to be lost. You want them to move gently into the next phase and what God is doing. These are exciting days. We've been preparing for some time for this. Mm-hmm. But you look at this technology that they're creating. I think about this. You saw Elon Musk. You saw what he said. He's the one that invented SpaceX, right?
And Tesla.
Tesla, and helped create PayPal. And this guy knows a lot about technology. He can fire a rocket to the moon, and the same rocket will come back down and land on a small launch pad. Mm. Think about that, the Kennedy space years. And so you think about that. And so you're looking at now, he's saying this. Check out what he's saying about artificial intelligence. This is what Elon Musk is saying. Take a look at this.
With artificial intelligence, we're summoning the demon. You know those stories where there's the guy with the pentagram and the holy water, and he's like, yeah, he's sure he can control the demon. Doesn't work out.
It doesn't work out at all, you know, and I want to encourage you to realize that's not too far-fetched. If you look at Revelation chapter 13, he's talking about a demon. He's talking about a beast. I mean, let's read Revelation chapter 13 right here, John, and let's just see what he's talking about.
Then I saw a second beast made the earth, and its inhabitants worshiped the first beast. And they performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of the people. It deceived the inhabitants of the earth. It ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived.
Think about that. Setting up an image, and what they're trying to do with this former Google employee, they're trying to set up an image.
That's
all computing is. That everybody worships. I mean, he's literally saying he's going to do it.
A pixel, right?
Yeah.
The second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. That number is 666.
Six. Leave that up behind me if you would. Look at this. He says you cannot buy or sell. It's an economy.
That's right.
It's all about, you know, one particular man ran for president. He said, it's the economy,
stupid.
Right? And God said for years, it's the economy. It's how you do business. You can't buy or sell. And we watch that take place. It's happening as we speak. And he's openly opened up, reportedly, a religious organization to be able to build this beast so that people would worship it. And signs from heaven. You think about one satellite could do something down here, and everybody go, "Oh, it's a sign." It's like it was not real.
Right.
It was not real. As a matter of fact, we get back from this break, we're going to hear Elon Musk himself at the World Congress talk about we're already cyborgs. We just haven't merged yet the technology into our bodies, and he's talking about that's the next step. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV. Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll sealed with seven seals. And I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. I saw the Lamb open one of the seals. Behold, a white horse. He opened the second seal. The horse, fiery red, went out. And a third seal, a black horse. And when he opened the fourth seal, behold, a pale horse, and he who sits on it is named Death.
Listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Welcome back. The church is leaving the building.
But refreshing.
Well, you think about it, because the church is the building. People are the church, are the building.
Yeah.
We happen, wherever we meet, that becomes the church.
22 or 3 are gathered, right?
Because we're in it. Yeah. But when we leave it, it's not the church anymore. Right?
That's right.
So if you're in a coffee shop with other believers, that's the church. So I believe the Lord is saying is that he's wanting us to find our tribe and get really related to him and his body. Not in just thought, but literally become his disciple. And we're talking about that today. You missed the early part of our program. You got to catch it. But we're talking about how, reason why is because this stuff ain't going to work much longer.
That's right.
You've got to connect to your tribe. I'm not saying things are shutting down. I'm just saying the same way you stopped watching this particular news channel, and the way you stopped watching this, and the way that particular program went off the air, and the way the radio is changing, the way the newspaper is changing, everything's going to change. And you're going to be lost if you don't find your tribe. But if you find your tribe, you'll have your own television, you'll have your own family, you'll have everything.
Don't focus on going, focus on being.
Being, yes, exactly. How can you go to what you are? All you can do is truly be. But you got to find out. It's kind of terrifying if you never found out. And so this technology is moving so quickly. We've been talking about Revelation chapter 13. Well, this is Elon Musk at the World Congress as he's talking about how, really, we're already cyborgs. The delay, the problem he's saying is we're using our fingers to type. And so that's just so slow. What they need to do, John, they said, We need to put the computer in our brains, in the frontal lobe of our brain, and then we could just think and fire off neurons, and then that would actually actuate a particular faster. They're talking about putting the machine in you. It's like a mark. Is it like a mark?
Hello?
The
yes.
The mark of the beast. Check it out.
No, I mean, I do think that there's a potential path here, which is, and we're really getting into science fiction or create, you know, sort of advanced science stuff, but having some sort of merger with biological intelligence and machine intelligence. To some degree, we are already a cyborg. You think of the digital tools that you have, your phone, your computer, the applications that you have, like the fact that, as I was mentioning earlier, you can ask a question and instantly get an answer from Google or, you know, from other things. And so you already have a digital tertiary layer. I say tertiary because you can think of the limbic system, kind of the animal brain or the primal brain, and then the cortex, kind of the thinking, planning part of the brain, and then your digital self as a third layer. So you already have that, and it's like if somebody dies, their digital ghost is still around. You know, all of their emails and the pictures that they posted and their social media, that still lives, even if they physically, if they died. So over time, I think we'll probably see a closer merger of biological intelligence and digital intelligence. And it's mostly about the bandwidth, the speed of the connection between your brain and your digital, the digital extension of yourself. Particularly output. Output, if anything, is getting worse. You know, we used to have like keyboards that we'd use a lot. Now we do most of our input through our thumbs on a phone. And that's just very slow. A computer can communicate at a trillion bits per second, but your thumb can maybe do, I don't know, 10 bits per second or 100 if you're being generous. So some high bandwidth interface to the brain, I think, will be something that helps achieve a symbiosis and between human and machine intelligence, and maybe solves the control problem and the usefulness problem.
See, your brain is so powerful. They're still trying to duplicate the brain. It's artificial intelligence. They're still trying to figure it out. And they're saying, but if we can put our device in God's brain, and you can actuate it with your it's neurons and firing off, and it's like, you better find your tribe. If you don't know Jesus, you better find Jesus. I want to go one more thing before we go, because Elon Musk, he came and he warned, John, he gathered the governors together. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He got the governors in America together, and he's saying, you need to regulate this. You need to get on top of this. You already don't know what's going on. You're already behind the curve. If you started today, you'd be behind. You don't even know what you're talking about, and it's happening, and you need to regulate it. As a matter of fact, he even talked about, that's why I'm going to Mars, because men will destroy themselves because of AI. And we would know that prophetically is the end of times are coming in regards to man. As a matter of fact, take a look.
On the artificial intelligence front, I have exposure to the very most cutting edge AI. And I think people should be really concerned about it. I keep sounding the alarm bell, but you know, until people see like robots going down the street killing people, like they don't know how to react, you know, because it seems so ethereal. I think we should be really concerned about AI, and I think we should. AI is a rare case where I think we need to be proactive in regulation instead of reactive, because I think by the time we are reactive in AI regulation, it's too late. Normally the way regulations are set up is that a whole bunch of bad things happen, there's a public outcry, and then after many years, a regulatory agency is set up to regulate that industry. A fundamental risk to the existence of civilization. AI is a fundamental risk to the existence of human civilization. In a way that car accidents,
airplane crashes, faulty drugs, or bad food were not. They were not. They were harmful to a set of individuals within society, of course, but they were not harmful to society as a whole. AI is a fundamental existential risk for human civilization, and I don't think people fully appreciate that. You know, I think there's a role for regulators. That's very important. And I'm against overregulation for sure. But man, I think we've got to get on that with AI.
The very creator of this kind of technology is saying government, Congress, governors, you need to regulate this. This thing is a demon. Literally, he quoted, this is a demon being loosed. And we know it is actually end times coming to pass. You need to find your tribe. Who are you called to be rightly related to? If you need help with that, go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org or give us a call. We can find a tribe that's near you. But just get connected to there's nothing like family. It's a joy. It's not a fearful thing. It's an exciting thing. You're going to have family. God's called you to be family, the family of God, which Father God, we're the elder brothers, Lord Jesus Christ, and we're sisters and brothers in the Lord. It's all about family. Is all about family. Then we got to go out and do the work that God's called us to, this billion soul harvest. I want to pray for you right now. Father God, we just thank you, Father God, for letting us know ahead of time what's taking place. We thank you, Father God, that you've already prepared a place for those you're calling out of the building, Father God, to be able to move into family. God, I pray that you would start drawing people to your tribes that you've established, your people, your family tribes, all around the world and the nation, Father God, and they would be healthy and vibrant. And fivefold ministry out of Ephesians chapter 4, Father God. And we ask you, Lord, dear God, in this technology, regulate it, God. Have them put the brakes on it, God. And we ask you, Lord, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.